Blog Talk Radio.
PLM baby.
Become a reality, and you know, I just wish you lots of love and thug
I'm on that dick.
Yeah.
So now I'm even trying.
No weapon force should ever harm my faith. I was put in this place to be strong and great. No negativity can stall my case. Nothing you can throw would ever scar my face. I fight every day to run a righteous race and hit the finish line at a lightning pace. Rise and grind a new day to shine, a brand new 24 to lead the path behind. Once in a while, we all wake up in a funk. But you know what I'm saying, get the funk out of the way. Yeah. Hey, once in a while, we all wake up in a funk. But you know what I'm saying, get the funk out of the way. Say funk, man. We gonna get up, get out, and be somebody. Rise and grind a new day to shine, a brand new 24 to leave the past behind.
Get up and be somebody.
Rise and grind a new day to shine, a brand new 24 to leave the past behind.
Still fighting in this rap ring. Check the record, undefeated, win with one swing. Leonidas, the first writer, in the flesh and the spirit, yo, I rose from the grave. Still fighting in this rap ring. Check the record, undefeated, win with one swing. Leonidas, the first writer, in the flesh and the spirit, yo, I rose from the grave. Still fighting in this rap ring. Check the record, undefeated, win with one swing. Leonidas, the first writer, in the flesh and the spirit, yo, I rose from the grave. Reinvented myself and came back with the same name and the same heart as a Spartan king. I spark shit regardless, pen hit the page, turn to flames. Document my pain, let it bleed on the track, fresh as rain. This last year was hell on me, conscience be telling me to take a flame, throw it to the game. They irrelevant, your voice make the stars rejoice. Mountains crumble, I stays humble, but it's hard being cool when these backstabbing snakes wanna see you playing fool. The people that you trust pass on and been a dude to this vile world. Been trying to find some peace, but every demon from my past haunts me constantly. I'ma fight to the last round, never back down, life throwing blows, but I'm ready for the showdown, no doubt. If tomorrow arrives, I'ma live like there's no tomorrow under the sky. I'ma fight to the last round, never back down, life throwing blows, but I'm ready for the showdown, no doubt. If tomorrow arrives, I'ma live like there's no tomorrow under the sky.
I might knock your block off, rock your socks off. Be in the ring and I'ma sing like hot sauce. Verbally abusing any cop that come out. Now get the bad look off your face when I come out. I might just come out and pour the slums out. Foul mouth pray from the 90s to run out. And snatch the chains off, wipe the stain off. Any track I spit on and say I came off. Rappers they play hard, but me I'm real dawg. Been in the game, I seen the change for real y'all. That's another topic, we can chop it up later. We can go back and forth like the world in the fade of. But right now, I'ma swing low like a chariot. It hits you in the balls like Judas Iscariot. Betray Jesus. Hip hop need us, truth's not a lie like Lincoln Freed us.
I'ma fight to the last round, never back down, like throwing blows, but I'm ready for the showdown, no doubt. If tomorrow arrives, I'ma live like there's no tomorrow under the sky. I'ma fight to the last round. Never back down, like throwing blows, but I'm ready for the showdown. No doubt, if tomorrow arrives, I'ma live like there's no tomorrow under the sky.
I wanna be a rap god like Big Daddy Kane is. Me and Big Town tag teaming and brainless, just like Stainless. Irrelevant, stomping MCs like a Bigfoot elephant. Just smooth and elegant, just like a shovel is. Down and dirty, underground like a cellar is. Whoever the hell he is, tell him to shut it up. It is me when the battle, yo, people to shut it up.
Yo, there is no tomorrow, that's the word that I live by. Sunrise breaks through the clouds, I'm taking time just to take in the colors. Been missing my brothers, everybody who I lost that affected my life. With the love that they showed to me, this life ain't supposed to be a cakewalk. Working out problems is a drag, y'all. Weeks flying by, yo, my grind is to stay up. Living out my dreams till I'm called and I wake up. Fight to the last round, never back down, like throwing blows, but I'm ready for the showdown, no doubt. If tomorrow arrives, I'ma live like there's no tomorrow under the sky. I'ma fight to the last round, never back down, like throwing blows, but I'm ready for the showdown, no doubt. If tomorrow arrives, I'ma live like there's no tomorrow under the sky.
Spontaneous.
Yeah,
and you just felt the energy, as always, from my brother, from another mother, DJ Waheed, on the ones and twos, and of course, mixing the top tracks of our guest tonight. So I got to understand, first I just got to let y'all know the gravity of how that goes real quick before we really get into our show. Like, y'all, a lot of y'all may not understand just how it just boisterous and beastly a lot of my brother's mixes are, because, again, it punched you right in the chest like you never, like it's like a hard wind just coming at you and hit you right in the chest, right in the face, and you're looking around like, what just happened? You feel like you just got just pretty much pummeled by 10 dudes in one. That's what happens. So shout out to my brother DJ Waheed for the banging mix, as he always does, for this edition, this year's edition of the Spontaneous Annual Celebrity Birthday Celebration. As you already know, or probably don't know, I am your host for this evening, DJ FX. And yes, I get it. I know. I understand. March Madness is upon us. It is. All right. But my beautiful boss, Miss Spontaneous, birthday continues in March. And besides, a lot of y'all brackets probably busted anyway. I know mine's never really started. I am a Carolina fan, so yeah, I get it. Mine never even got in there. I get it. So a lot of brackets are busted. A couple of number ones I know are already knocked out. So if anybody's a Kansas fan, they're already gone. They got beat by Arkansas, so they already out of there. And Duke, I'm so glad Duke got put out too. Everybody thought they was going to take it, but nope. Them jokers got put out too, so there you go. And yes, former Pisces, yes, I know, yes, it is Pisces season, but if you really want to celebrate Pisces season, you are more than welcome to watch the movie The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. So that was a 1979 comedy classic. You may check it out with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, so please check that out. That movie is for you, all right? But yes, here we go. After all that being said, I must say this on behalf of the PLM team. We would like to thank all of the families, families and friends and everybody, millions of the fans, for listening in. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here with us, and we definitely love you for that. All right. So, again, let me welcome you to the 2023 edition of the Spontaneous Annual Celebrity Birthday Celebration of this year. And you know what?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
That's right. Happy birthday, Spawn. The birthday continues. And y'all know the female artist artist who was managed by Tupac Shakur. She is also a three-time Hall of Fame inductee, sold over 352 million of movies and still selling today. She has also received 9 awards of her accomplishments in the entertainment industry, including award. Also, our beautiful boss became the valedictorian of her class of 2020 from Full Sail University, and she will become Dr. Spontaneous of Business Administration and Strategic Marketing in the next few years from now, including a second book that will be released about her life with her manager, Tupac Shakur, authored by Kevin Powell. Also, here's something new. Just got it. Also, New York Times best-selling author Jeff Pearlman will be releasing a Tupac Shakur biography. Miss Spontaneous will be in the book as well, so you will get to read about Miss Spontaneous and Tupac and the type of relationship that they had. The book will be released in 2025. Spontaneous Radio Online, the one-stop shop for all of our PLM shows and events. So please stay updated for all upcoming shows and interviews. Now, the moment that we've all been waiting for, I'm going to introduce to you our guest for this evening. We brought him back yet again, just 2 hours away from D.C., all the way from the home of the NFC champion Eagles and the Super Bowl winning champs of 2018. And I must say I was an Eagles fan at that time when they beat the Patriots. So definitely shout out to them. But I must say, though, that I'm doing this almost under duress, and I'm going to tell you why. Because, yes, I'm a Commanders fan. Yes, I feel that has to be known. I am a Commanders fan. But hold on. For all my Commanders fans, that's you out there, light is at the end of the tunnel because Dan Snyder is about team. So the rest of the NFC East, be on lookout. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, all right, back to the lecture at hand. He is the true party resurrector. He is the one, the only, here to make you get up and be somebody. Supreme the Resurrector, what is going on, my brother?
Good to be back for another year to celebrate the Queen's birthday celebration. Good to be honored to be a part of it. And happy birthday, Spawn. And great to talk to you again, FX, and ready to have it, man. Whatever y'all want to talk about, we on.
I hear that. And you know why I always love having you on, brother? Why we always have you love having you on is you are true to your name. When it comes to the party, right, when it comes to the energy, you bring it. You bring it.
Yes, sir.
So I first must, and this I've never forgotten. This is the last time we've seen each other. The Clown Posse, man. The Clown Posse.
Oh, wow.
Where you first introduced me. Yes. Yes.
Juggalo. Woo, woo.
Yeah, exactly. I must mention this, man, because, again, for those of you that don't know, all right, so, again, Supreme the Resurrector, again, he is true to his name. I've seen him firsthand. The brother puts on a show, and when he did a show with the Clown Posse, let me tell you, now, this was my first experience, all right? So, again, in Philly, we all chilling. We just having a great night. I mean, oh, my God. So all I know, I'm walking in, and you can definitely name the club we were in that night. All I know,
Raven.
I'm walking in.
Raven.
Yeah, right. Okay.
The Raven. Yeah.
We was walking in the Raven, right? So all I know, I happened to see, like, you know, a couple of people walking down the steps. So my first thought was, this is my first thought, because all I know, I saw somebody, like, on their shoulder, because it's like they was walking them down on their shoulder. So my first thought was, like, whose baby is this? Like, somebody actually brought a child into the club at that night. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, they do realize they're in the club, right? And they do realize how late it is, right? So I'm like, hold on. So as the night goes on, I'm like, all right, you know, they, you know, I ain't gonna get, you know, in the mix, you know, middle of that. That's on them, right? But anyway, as the night goes on, come to find out, this was a little person on their shoulder who actually performed. and got on stage and rocked it. I was like, whoa, did not see that coming. Did not see that coming. But that was part of the Clown Posse performance. You were definitely a part of that. And when you came in at the, I mean, everybody just, oh, my God, they rocked out, man. They rocked out. Shout out to Judah the Priest, man. I mean, y'all ripped it up, man. I mean, I definitely got to give y'all, you know, a round of applause on that one. Again, y'all did it. And all I can say is from that point on, I say, yeah, this brother right here, yeah, Now, I was mad because I didn't even know about you sooner. That was my regret because I didn't know about you sooner. But, man, you ripped it. So, just in case anybody didn't know, that's what I'm talking about. The energy that he brings to a stage, it's phenomenal. For lack of a better word,
experience.
It's phenomenal. Yes, the new experience. Definitely. Definitely, man. I mean, oh, my God. And I got video that I still have yet to post. But, man, that was truly a new experience for me. Truly
glad,
a new experience for me, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. And you got to let me know when you're going to do something like that again because I definitely got to be a part of that, man. That was something else. But I must ask you, like, what was the inspiration behind you becoming an artist, you know, especially being a hip-hop artist? Like, what said to you, you know, what told you that's what you wanted to do? Like, you know, because, again, the way you step on stage and your presence is just unbelievable. Like, what said, that's what I want? That's what I want to do?
To be honest, hip-hop itself, I've been around from the beginning. I know it's the 50th anniversary. I don't think I was around. Well, I was around for the 50th year of 1974. I was around, but I was four. So I wasn't really into what was happening in New York and on the underground and what was about to become the phenomenon called hip-hop that took over the world and became the number one genre on the planet. But 79, when I heard Rapper's Delight, something them three brothers did and said and being played on the radio when all it was R&B, rock and roll. And this Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang made me say, hey, I could do that. And eventually, of course, the movies, Beat Street Breaking and Wild Style made me even more wanting to be more involved in the culture of hip hop. Visiting New York every year as a kid from visiting my cousin and my aunt every year, my grandmother. Every year since I was a baby, actually, but when I got around 15, 16, it really meant something because I was going to Mecca. I was going to the home of hip-hop. So then I was looking at the, you know, not too far, hour and a half away from Philadelphia, and we had our own stars in Philadelphia, MC Breeze and Schoolie D and Lady B was rocking the hip-hop that we was getting. And me being able to go from listening to the radio and go firsthand to the streets of where it was started from and just really just feeling the vibe. But even then, until I saw, Crush Groove, and LL came on that little five minutes of that saying that I box and did my radio I needed loud. I said, that's what I am. I'm an MC. And from then I solidified myself as an MC, and I definitely was a big fan of LL from then on, from I Need a Beat all the way down to CSI today. But I've always looked up to the best, like Will Smith, Fresh Prince from my area. Like I said, Breeze, and Schoolie D, Perry P, MTV Raps with Dr. Dre and Ed Lover.
Yeah,
I was a fan.
Shout
out
to Dr. Dre.
I was a fan. It probably was not an episode of Yo MTV Raps with Dre and Ed Lover that I didn't see after school. There's probably Fab Five Freddy on the weekends, the Basement Rap City with the Mayor and Big Tigger and everything that was on BET, anything hip-hop, the books. I read books. There's one book I remember called, I just got it from the library as a young guy, man. It's called Hip-Hop. and I learned about Grandmaster Caz and he, the notebooks that he had of all his rhymes written in it made me want to write. And the MC that I lived around named MC Barsky, rest in peace, my brother Jim,
yeah,
he was an MC and he was a writer, and he just got me into writing, and I was just a writer. And then meeting Dr. Shock at Darkwell Entertainment and him guiding my career as a young artist doing with the crew, and then joining the Regulators, and then from there just getting into the bands of Simple and Supreme and the Resurrect, and then seeing hip hop where my hip hop left the street and went to the stages of rock and roll, and then going on tour with Whitney Payton and meeting the Juggalos. So that experience that you had going into the Raven was my experience for like 3 years of touring with her. I never heard of a Juggalo or ICP or Insane Clown Posse and Twisted. But going on tour with them, I met Tech N9ne. It just took me a lot of places. I won a lot of awards. I was like, I'm still the best kept secret of hip hop, because right now I'm doing a lot of things that's under the radar. But when it hits, they say, like you said, man, I never heard of you. I'm so surprised I never heard of you before. But I love bringing a new experience to people, because I've been here. I've been here. I've seen them come. Mm-hmm. I've seen them go. And I'm still here at 53 years old. I still feel like I'm 30. I feel like 25. Right. I feel more alive. Than I did at 25, actually, because to me, the new experience is a new beginning at this point, because I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes from here. But, yeah, that inspired me, just always looking at the best, and I always wanted to be the best. So I've looked at the LLs and the Big Daddy Kanes and the ODBs and the Wu-Tang Clan, and to be able to meet these people and actually touch them and talk to them and get advice from them and encouragement from them and keep going, brother. And next thing you know, I don't know how to stop at this point. At this point, what else would I do? I did this for 30 years. What else? If you did something for 30 years, you become a master at it. And I feel, as far as the stage, writing songs, like I say, I might not be Eminem, because Eminem to me is one of the best MCs. Jay-Z is one of the best MCs. But I can get on stage with any of these people and I would shine, because I study these people and I've studied lyricism, and I don't know how good I am. I'm just listening to the mix that the brother DJ Wahid did, man. I'm just sitting here like, man, I can rap. I'm pretty good. I'm nice with it. I can write good songs. Like, I'm all right. But, you know, and like I said, for me not to be on a national level as far as a household name, it's fine. It's coming, though. I don't think it's over yet. I think it's going to be, I'm a satchel page. I might get rookie of the year at this age, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, it's coming, because we definitely going to get to that. We definitely going to get to that. But
it's the second half of the game,
that,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Definitely. But I must ask you, though, and of course millions of the fans want to know, you know, this we got to let them know. You got to tell that story. How did you come to know our beautiful PLM boss, Miss Spontaneous, the female who was managed by Tupac? How did that meeting occur?
Man, my cousin, Mike Music, was doing, I guess, started producing. And I was somehow, some way, he's like, you know, the adult actress Spontaine. I was like, no, I never heard of her. I mean, I heard of her, but you know, I've seen a lot of her movies. But he was like, I'm gonna give you a phone number. Somehow we got each other's phone number, and we talked. I called her, she called me, because I had to find out what my cousin. She wanted to start. She was starting an entertainment company, or really getting ready to get down and go hard with the music. And we talked for literally 3 hours or more on the phone. She became like my friend that day. First speaking to her, like I said, I didn't see an adult movie star. I saw an intelligent artist that was like very smart, very knowledgeable about everything current, like current events.
Right.
Was it's amazing how she's up on everything. So we talked for 3 hours. I found more about her on that conversation, and I guess she found out a lot about me. And we just clicked from there, and ever since then, she kept me in the loop of what she's doing, and I kept her in the loop of what I'm doing. We end up meeting face-to-face at a show that we both hosted in Allentown, and we really hit it off because, you know, you don't know anything about anybody until you really meet them in person.
Right.
From that first hosting job that we did, we've been tighter than ever since, like far as tight. And then, you know, like the her birthday was a big thing every year. And
yes,
the party was the big thing. And for some reason, I always got something to do for the big party, especially, you know, before COVID.
Right.
But
right.
I got the honor of going to her birthday party that was given to her by her family. And she invited me to the party, and I met her family and sat down, and we ate, and we had a great time at the venue. And I don't know, ever since then, man, it became like really became a family thing. Like we've been family ever since. And it's like anything she does, she includes me and calls me and tells me, yo, I got this going on. Want you to be a part of this roundtable? My celebrity birthday online. I'm going to call. And it's always well done as far as like, you know, the promotion, anything that I'm doing, she'll put it on her page and she'll share it. Like, you know, this is something like a superstar, you know what I mean, to me.
Right.
And, and if you're a superstar, you know, you managed by a superstar. And just to know that she was a mutual friend, because I didn't know she was from Philadelphia. So to know that she was from Philadelphia, and then she was mentored by my good friend that mentored me, Mr. Mike Tyler, one of the greatest guitar players in the world. And I found out she's a musician, and I love a girl that can play drums. Lord have mercy. If a woman could play drums, she got my heart. So I found out she's a drummer. And it's just amazing, like this woman. And then, you know, the school thing. It's like, I'm going to school now. All right, you go to school. And not only do you go to school, you want to come out. You're coming out a doctor. It's like you're getting your doctorate degree. Like, you know, most people would be happy just to get a little 4 years, especially later in life. You know, like my mother went to school in her 40s, and you know, and she got her associate degree. That was the biggest deal of this family. You know, my baby's daughter's going to college now. And she's about probably be the first one to come out with a whole bachelor's degree, and she's going to go get her hopefully master's and doctorate degree. But we're proud of her. But Fern did this, and I was proud of her because it was like, yo, you're doing it, and you're doing it well, and to keeping me involved is even like. Like I said, it's an honor, man. You know, people don't do this for people they just meet. Well, not that we just met, but we got to know each other. Mm-hmm. But the love just grow every year. Mm-hmm. It's like this woman is a phenomenal woman, and to have a phenomenal woman that's in your corner, and it's just amazing. So it's like a blessing to know her. So that's how we met. That's how we still getting to know each other. And like I said, this is the second half of the game. So God knows what she's going to do going in the future of her the book. And I got a book coming out in September. So, you know, so I'm going to be an author. My book is called His Past is History, Where I'm From.
Yeah, tell us about that. Yes.
So it's like it's just she's inspiring me. And like she'll call me. Or I'll call her and she'll be like, I'm in Japan. I'm like, damn, you're in Japan? Well, I'm on tour with the guys. And I was like, geez, this woman is doing it. Like, it's just, I don't know what's in her that makes her keep going. But then at the same time, I'm like, I'm going also. And she's inspiring me to keep going. And so she's a good people. She's good people, man. Just good people. Every time we get together is a good time. And we haven't seen each other in a long time, but it feels like we've seen each other often because we stay in touch often. Like I said, once we get on that phone, boy, it's like that conversation is not going to be for, she'll call me for a message. I just wanted to drop this on you. Then next thing you know, we'll get on the current affairs and we'll talk. And we'll get to know each other. It's like we, like cousins that, you know, you meet, see your cousin, you ain't seen them in a while. And it's like, y'all can listen to the conversation that y'all just had 4 or 5 years ago, like it never happened, like it happened the next day. But that's how we get together. So it's like I'm proud of her, and I'm just honored to know her. Honored to know her, and I'm glad my cousin Mike don't know what he did when he put us in touch with each other, you know?
Right.
I don't even know if he's still in touch with her. I don't even know if he's still talking to her, but he gave me the alley oop. And I've known, you know, the I got the alley oop, and I'm still dribbling the ball, baby. You know what I mean?
Right. Hey, that's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about. And I must say, she wanted me to let you know that she loves you as well for the love that you have shown her and everything. So she wants to, you know, give that shout out to that she loves you as well. So yeah.
Automatic. Yep. All the way love. Like we just on the round table together. I think that was the last time we all been on the phone with Dr. Dre, and anything she called me for, I'm there. Like I'm all the way game for it. It ain't even like let me see if I can squeeze it in. It's like yes, whatever you need.
Right.
It's like Shelly Shell with Urban Expressions, the TV show that I've been on for 10 years, man. Whenever Shelly Shell calls me, I'm there. Like, whatever you need, Shelly. Whatever you need, Spine, I'm there.
Right. And to tell you the truth, I'm glad that we're able to catch you now because I'm going back to the point that you made, you know, about you know, possibly going national, you know, and really hitting it because I don't know if anybody knows this, but if anybody is a fan of the show on CBS, East New York, if you caught an episode of East New York, I'm pretty sure a lot of you have heard my brother. Yes. A lot of you have probably heard this brother on the show because he started one of those episodes of East New York. And before we get into that, because I want to definitely talk to how did that start? How did you get connected with that? How did you feel? I feel that I must play the song, if you don't mind. If you don't mind, because it's one of my favorite tracks. So I'm going to play this track right now. You're definitely going to get into it. All right? So here it is.
Let's do it.
Supreme the Resurrector, Rise and Grind.
Yeah, time to get up.
Yeah.
Get up, get out and be somebody. Get up, get out and be somebody.
Yeah.
Rise and shine, everybody.
Yeah.
Get up, get out and be somebody. Get up, get out and be somebody. It's been a minute since I felt this way.
Yeah.
When the stars lined up, things going my way. Like the sun came out so the kid could play. It's been dark for a while, but I smiled each day. Put the work in when I wanted to say. To hell with it all, but to God I pray. Give me the strength to stay strong today. To stay 10 toes down, don't bend or break. Don't fall victim to the storm of fate. Be untouchable like an armor. No weapon force should ever harm my face. I'ma put in this place to be strong and great. No negativity can stall my case. Nothing you can throw would ever scar my face. I like every day to run a righteous race and hit the finish line at a lightning pace. Rise and grind, a new day to shine. A brand new 24 to lead the past behind.
Supreme the Resurrector. Resurrect the Rise and Grind. Again, that was the beginning track on an episode of East New York, which is televised on DBS. Yes, so I must ask you, how did that happen? Like, how was that connection? And just take us through the emotion of that. Like, how did you feel to know your song was being pretty much shown nationally? Like, as the starting track to a popular TV show.
Well, I got to say, I always wanted to make a song that's like a hip-hop classic or a classic, like a song that's going to be around forever. And as long as this TV show is in syndication, like it's first season right now, but it's a hit. So
yes.
I can see it being on TBS and USA and like the next Law and Order, because it's a great drama. It's a great cop drama on CBS, and I never heard of it because it's brand new. So what happened was, and we go back from the beginning, is start from Milk Boy Recording Studio, which records all the Atlantic artists. The Roots record there. It's a famous club here. They got two bars, and they got a recording studio. It used to be Larry Gold's Recording Studio, where they had this open mic contest.
Okay.
The winner gets
yeah,
a recording deal and a publishing deal. So anyway, a friend of mine, like, come on and join and do this contest. And I thought I was going to be like, I just got off a tour with Whitney Payton. I'm home, I'm taking care of my grandmother before she passed. So I'm home. I'm depressed because I'm not on the road. And I just wanted to get back into it. So I had to reintroduce myself to my city because I was gone for literally 3 years. And on the road, with the Juggalos and the Insane Clown Posse, So anyway, I'm back, and I'm thinking like, oh man, it's gonna be like cheating, because if I get in the contest, if I get in the contest, I'm gonna win the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the competition
right.
was incredible. It was like rappers, singers, singer-songwriters, reggae artists, rock artists, and it was just like everything, and nobody knew who the hell I was. So that was even greater because I was gone. So it was like, to them, I was a new artist. So the contacts and connections I made through Milk Boy just at the open mic part, because you win the open mic, then you get to go to the big stage, and then you got to go in the semifinals and the finals, and then they got to do it another 3 more times before you get to the finals, the battle. So it took a year to win this thing. So we finally got it, and we got to the finals and won. So the winner gets to go to Milk Boy and record some songs, and if they like you, they'll keep you on as a you put the records out for you or help you market them, and then you go to their publishing arm, which shops it to TV and radio and different things from the publishing side. So anyway, that was like years ago. That was like 2018. So anyway, we recorded 7 songs. One of the songs was Rise and Grind, and it's like Paper Chase, which you played earlier, and Swing for the Fences. And I put them out under my label for my few singles. And, we still didn't have any control over who's going to pick up publishing or what's going to happen, because they still got to shop it around. And it's up to the TV shows to actually say, yeah, I like that song. So anyway, the guy that they got shopping is, that's his thing. And I'm sitting here like, well, we haven't got picked up yet for a TV show or nothing. So I was like, well, maybe, it's just not in the cards for it to happen. So, you just forget about it. And Rise and Grind been doing this thing on its own. It's like the 2-year anniversary of Rise and Grind coming up in July, which we're going to have another big show July 1st at Milk Boy, celebrating the 2-year anniversary of this song. So anyway, I was doing the boxing match training and celebrity boxing. Shout out to Damon Feldman. And right before the match, Milk Boy said, hey, man, we got a song got picked up by East New York. And I was like, well, what's East New York? And he was like, oh, it's a TV show on CBS, brand new show. So I looked it up. Everything I do, I look it up. So I looked it up. It was like, okay. And then the publisher, the shopper called and gave a description to me, sent the email of how the song was going to come in, the scene it was coming in, and so I'm like, all right, they're probably just going to play a little bit of the track. You know what I mean? Thinking it's going to be a little, you could get a snippet, but it's still good enough for me. Mm-hmm. You still get paid. So I'm like, whatever. So I didn't even actually get to see it because it was on the it was a Sunday night. The boxing match, my actual boxing match was that Saturday. So that Sunday, right, it was supposed to air. So I have no idea. I taped it so I could see it when I get home. You know, I DVR'd it. And when I played that thing, I'm thinking, because I knew the scene that was coming, that they say it was going to be the first, second, third, last, whatever, somewhere within that hour. So I'm thinking I'm going to be looking at this show all day, trying to figure out where my song going to be in. And after the opening, I guess, montage of last week's episode, Rise and Grind comes on, and it's a nice, good snippet of it, because the people are in the projects, and they're having fun and celebrating. And my man that played Kane from Power, and he played Bobby Brown, and Woody. I think his name is Woody. I don't know his last name, but he comes out the door, and the song is on. Everybody having a good time. And then these guys, gunmen, roll up and just start shooting at him, right? So that's the scene. Right. But there's a good portion of the song that gets played, and I'm like, Jesus, you can even hear some of my verse. I was like, wow. So it was like just incredible, so surreal. And I'm sitting here playing it back over and over to make sure it's not a dream. And it's like, that's my song on this episode. And then the show is a big hit. And like, it's a hit. So I start looking at it definitely from episode one to actually the newest episode comes on tonight. And it's like, I guess they had the 14th or 15th episode before they get ready to start season two. And I know it's going to get picked up.
So, yeah.
It's a smash hit. So that's two, you know, it comes on right after the Equalizer. So, you know, my thing come on right after Tifa, you know what I mean?
There it is.
It felt good. And I knew, I said, I got to win this contest because something good going to come out of this. And then I thought something good did come out. I won because I'm a competitor. So once you say contest, I'm in it to win it. And I won the whole thing, got the songs done, put that three great records out. And one of the records finally get picked up for a national television show. And it's not over, like I said. You know what I mean? It might get picked up again. But it will be aired forever. As long as this show comes on, like every time episode 3, season 1 comes on syndication, Rise and Grind will be the first thing. So that's a surreal. So that contest 4 years ago, it all led up to this, and it was a great feeling, like great. I was blown away. Like finally, and people would call me and be like, "Was that your song on the episode? It's like my favorite show." And I swear to God, that was you. That was your song, wasn't it? I was like, "Yeah, that was Rise and Grind." So when strangers start calling you, or people that you know, like fans and things that you know from all around the country, so you think about it, like you know, you get a record played. If you get it played on your radio station, it's locally. If it get regionally, if it get nationally. But just think, when that song came on that show, millions of people seen that and heard that song at one time. So that's the part that make you blow your mind. Like, whoo, this is better than any airplay. And you get paid for it. And you're going to get ASCAP royalties for the rest of your life. So the mailbox money that I prayed for. And it's not the first national thing I've done. Like, I wrote a song for the NFL. I wrote three songs for NFL Films, which was on the Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks for, I think they was doing the Tampa Bay season. And three of my songs got played on that. But, you know, that's a one-time deal, you know, because that's on HBO. Right. And they usually cover the beginnings of a one football team, and that's it for that year. You know what I mean? But we got on the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. So that I've been on a television show before, and I got royalty for something else a long time ago. But this means like much more, because this is like this is a song that I wrote and they picked it, as opposed to me writing three songs specifically for this TV show. So you know, it means a lot. It just meant a lot. And the song won an award for the Homie Awards before they even got picked up for the TV show. And I think my Swing for the Fences became the intro for the Celebrity Boxing Fight TV intro that Ice-T hosted. So I've been on TV with my songs before, but this is like, whoa, this is the biggest accomplishment. National television show syndicated all across the world that's possibly going to syndication and could possibly become – you know what I mean, episode 3, that's going to be,
right.
Hey, it's on demand, like if you go on demand on demand on everybody's cable TV and they want to go back and look at old episodes, episode 3 is there, you know what I'm saying?
It is.
And the first thing you see is going to see that song. So, yeah, as you can hear in my voice, I am very excited and happy for that song. And it's still
man,
going
we all
strong. It's the closer of every show at this point. That's my hit. That's my biggest hit
right
now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. That, but that's
and
the
you know what? And,
it,
and you know it's something else. And I will mention
brother.
That. Yeah. So like you saying, like on demand, it's like yeah. So definitely gonna be on the CBS app. So if anybody want to check out the show East New York, it's definitely a great
Hulu,
show.
Everything.
And yes, on Hulu, all of that. As a matter of fact, YouTube,
all
TV.
Of that.
So, yeah, all
YouTube
of that. So my thing
yeah,
is,
all of that.
Yes, all of that. So, and just like
and
you said, it comes
King
after
and,
one
and,
of... Yep, go ahead.
And the brother from Power, who's on, you know, the new Power, he
yep.
was the star of that episode. So it was like, it was a big star in the show.
Right, see?
He dodging bullets. He dodging bullets to my soul. It was like, damn, that's
right.
Bobby Brown. Look at Kane ducking and dodging in the project. Kane is ducking and dodging while my song is being played.
Right. He's like, that's me.
That's my song. Don't shoot him.
Right. It's like, now, wait a minute. It's like, now, do it after the song.
Yeah,
like,
but that's funny, though. The song is a beautiful song. Everybody jumping and dancing and hear these fools come on a motorcycle with a gun and mess the groove up.
Right. I know.
And then it went dark from there.
You're right.
Get up and beat somebody. Went dark after that.
Hey, there's sometimes how it goes, but you know, but
hey,
all I'm saying
that's
is like, you know, yeah, it is. It's true reality. But it got played. It's out there. So, and just like you mentioned, it's definitely after one of my favorite shows, The Equalizer. So, yeah,
great show. Sync royalty. Sync.
Yes,
treatment.
Definitely.
And I want many more, but you know, you can't have many more without one. So we got one. You know what I mean?
We got one. And I must mention that if anybody wants to get that song, definitely go to Amazon.com, iTunes, it's all out there. Supreme, The Resurrector,
everywhere.
Rise and Grind. So definitely go ahead and cop that track because, like I said, it's definitely one of my favorite tracks. I'll be blasting it in my car, you know, especially on a bright, sunny day. I mean, I just pull it out there, man. It definitely gets the juices flowing, gets the energy going. So, yeah, definitely cop that track, definitely. But
right.
I must go back
and
I
got a feeling we haven't seen the last of this. We haven't seen the last of it yet.
Oh, no. It's just getting started, brother. It's just getting started.
Yeah, I believe
it's just getting started. Yeah, it's trust me. And like you said, you know, to be on that national stage, just to have that national exposure and, you know, and be
beautiful.
Right there on the TV for everybody. It's like, yo, that's
thank cool. Almighty God. Thank God.
Yes.
He's
you
amazing.
Know, so that is truly big. That is truly big. So, you know, I'm definitely going to be pushing it. And like I said, definitely cop that track, everybody out there. Again, Amazon.com, iTunes, you name it, it's out there. Just cop the track. I'm telling you, if you haven't heard this track, just go to it. And if East New York is your favorite show, then there you go. So definitely check it out. Definitely check it out. But, yeah, but I want to go back to a point you mentioned about celebrity boxing, and I know you have a match coming up. So definitely tell us about the match that is on its way, that it is coming, and where we can catch it.
Well, technically, I don't have a match coming up. It was a I got an honorary championship belt from it's a belt that is like a trophy. It's been given to 50 Cent, Damon John, Tiffany Haddish, Wendy Williams, to name a few, and they're honoring different people that done things in the community, inspirations to different people. And I guess, so I did have a match, and I fought the champion of celebrity boxing, Mr. Hazel Roche. And like I said, shout out to my brother, celebrity boxer owner, Damon Feldman. And my match ended in a draw. And what made it happen was I started, I guess, a year ago, almost a year ago, just started taking care of my health and really trying to get into physical fitness. And I guess he saw me in the gym because I was supposed to have a match years ago, 2016, with the rapper Stitches, and it never happened. And we went viral with the press conference. So the fight never happened. But since then, I performed at Celebrity Boxing. I've been at every event that they've had as a supporter of my brother. And it just, I never had a boxing match. So my brother was like, yo, it's time for you to get in the ring because you're looking good. You're losing weight. I think I reversed the effects of my diabetes. I don't have to take insulin no more. My cholesterol is down. I lost 60 pounds. And he was like, why don't you get in the ring with the champion? I was like, what the who? With the champion? Why would I? Why would she want me to fight you? He got 3 belts. Why would you want me to fight somebody that he fought 14 times? Why would you want me to fight the champion? And I like the guy. Like, me and him was cool. Like, why would you want us to fight? He was like, it'll be a good friendly match because both of y'all are good guys. And I was like, well, who want to see two good guys fight? You know, some of us got to be the bad guy. So anyway, you know, within the teasing and the egging on each other, like we really pumped the fight up and everybody really got excited about it. So we finally got our match and it was, I think, October 15th of last year, and I got a draw. Okay. So after the draw, nobody wanted to fight me after that. No, it was funny, though, because now everybody was like, well, I ain't fighting him. He fought the champion. What else? Like, most rappers do a lot of talking. So a lot of rappers want to shoot and kill each other on the internet, but not too many want to step into that ring and risk losing and then maybe losing their reputation or their clout or whatever, whereas they talk a lot. So I guess there's more money in talking than it is in fighting. So shout out to Blueface, who actually gets in the ring and fight, and any other rapper that actually got into a celebrity boxing, like Willie D did it with Grandmaster Melly Mel a long time ago. So I'm happy to be one of the rappers that had the guts to actually get in the ring, trained by Tim Witherspoon Jr., son of the heavyweight champion Tim Witherspoon Sr., and at his gym at Witherspoon Boxing. And that I got really in tip-top shape for the fight. I learned some good fighting techniques, and what they say is true. Everything about you could play baseball, you could play football, but you can't play boxing. It's something you got to go in there and do. And I did it, and to get a draw, because my whole goal was not to fall down, get knocked out. And go to 3 rounds and finish. And not only did I finish, I didn't win, but I came out with a draw, so I won. As far as my personal goals, I won. And we did my band, Supreme and the New Experience, we did the after party. We just did a fight when it just happened, last week. And when I got my belt, I walked mid-range Martinez out to the ring with my song Swing for the Fences, wearing my championship belt. But there's no fights on the book for me, and I'm not saying because I got these boots and boxing shorts and in the belt, but I haven't got a match yet. So, if it doesn't happen, I'm not hurt. If nobody wants to fight me, I'm not upset about it. I've accomplished everything I need to accomplish in boxing.
Well, I do have a two-part question. So going back like, you know, your weight loss journey and your fitness, you know, you can definitely, if you wouldn't mind, like, tell us, like, some of the techniques that you use to actually slim down the way you say, like you say you lost 60 pounds and everything. So definitely take us, like you know, through the steps and the regimens that you went through, you know, because I'm pretty sure those that are probably listening are probably, like, looking for something to maybe they're going through that where they want to try to lose, you know, some weight or get fit. So definitely take us through that. And the second part to that question is, would you fight Will Smith in the ring?
Hey, all right. First part of the question is, what happened was I was working at a school as a mentor. I worked at a school for kids, middle school for mentoring. And I left that job. But as I was leaving the job, my diabetes, I guess you say, got out of control. Your A1C should be around 7 or 6. And my doctor called me and said mine was at a 10.1. And they wanted me to go to an endocrinologist, which I've done before and got it under control. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as years go long, and, you know, I was a big guy. Not big, but I was 265. And I wasn't like out of shape. I didn't really realize how big I was until you see pictures now of how, you know, older pictures, like, well, recently pictures, mm-hmm. like within the last year, like, wow, I was kind of big, like 3Xs. And now, you know, I'm at a 2X, 1X, 2X, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So anyway,
yeah,
I went to the endocrinologist and I told him, I'm going to do my part. So whatever my part is, because the doctor gave me something really encouraging that I haven't gotten diabetes at 26. So I wasn't born with it, but I got it, and it mm-hmm. got it through hereditary, through my father. So what happened was they said I was going to get it regardless. You know what I mean? And I was, you know, mm-hmm. I like cakes and candy and sugar like anybody else. So I told them, I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut out all sugar. So I cut out all the cakes and the snacks because at the school, you know what I mean, I'm at the vending machine. I'm getting honey buns every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now that I wasn't in the school, I went back to my old regiment, which my uncle, who's a bodybuilder, Uncle Armando, gave me this regiment years ago before I went on tour with Whitney Payton. And every time I start this, I would had to stop to go to the tour. And of course, while I was on tour, I didn't lift no weights. I passed the gym every day, but I liked to swim, but I didn't do no lifting. Right. So I got out of the thing that he taught me. And after that, COVID came. I got back in the gym. And then I injured my arm. COVID came. Mm-hmm. And I got out of the gym then. So I was just like, this time I got time, you know, going to school 7 to 3 every day and not and having that time free. As of June, I said, I'm going back to the gym. And I got myself back in the gym, got back on the old regimen, which is, you know, core. Always got to work on the core every day. I mean, there's only 4 days mm-hmm. a week from Monday to Thursday. Monday and Wednesday is chest, back, and biceps. Tuesdays and Thursdays mm-hmm. is legs, shoulders, and triceps. And that's a bodybuilding regimen. So you use all the machines and free weights that do your chest, biceps, mm-hmm. back, and, of course, legs, triceps, and shoulders. So that was I did that for, at this point, I'm at my 9th month, straight, no stopping. And every two months, you get a week off. So every 2 months, you take a week off, but then you get right back into it. So, as like I said, I've just seen the weight loss minus the sugar. So my A1C, my 3-month visit, the back from my first 10.1 visit, came down to 7.4. Shocked everybody. Took me off of the daily shots, which I took a shot every meal, and I took a nightly shot and a weekly shot of Trulicity plus 2 pills. At 7.4, I was allowed to get off of my daily shots. And then after the fight was another 3 months, and then she took me off of the nightly shot. So now I just take a pill, and as long as I keep my weight down and keep active, I'm fighting every day to make sure I never have to go back to a needle. A daily needle again as long as I live.
Right.
And that's the motivation right there. And then when you look
there
in the
you
mirror,
because
even the fight, I came from 265 to 230. I was trying to get to 220 for the fight. But after I got off of the insulin, I just started rapidly losing as far as unhealthily rapidly losing. But not only losing as far as like just getting skinny, I see muscles coming like, whoa, I didn't, you know, like now I'm built. Like, I'm really cut up. I'm getting shredded.
Like,
and I'm
man,
looking
like,
in the mirror. Ooh, I'm looking in the mirror like, damn, who is he? Where have you been past 50 years, brother? And my face is slimmed down and like all my, half my, well, most of my, I had to get rid of all my clothes because my 42 jeans, I'm at a 38 waist. I'm at, actually at 36, 38 waist. So all my 42 jeans, and I tried to wear something that I used to wear because it was one of my favorite outfits. I looked like a clown because I had to, it looked like I was wearing a tent. So I had to give all my clothes away to my bigger brothers and to my homies. Like, yo, y'all can go in the closet and get it. So these are like brand new outfits, man. But, you know, it's good to get rid of bigger clothes and shop for newer clothes that fit in the T-shirts now. There used to be 3Xs. Now the T-shirts is 1Xs and 2Xs and the sweatsuits are now 2Xs and they fit and you know you can really see the I'm wearing tank tops now. Every show I do now, for some reason I feel like taking off my shirt And I take off my shirt, and the girls be like, woo! And you're like, damn. I ain't never got no, all the years of performing, you talk about having a great show, the great shows that I've had. It's just something different than when you take off your shirt and the girls go, woo! Then you really feel like LL Cool J. So that was the weight loss journey. And I'm still, like I said, every day from Monday to Thursday, more than likely in the morning, you're going to find me in that gym doing my weekly routine. And I'm happy to mm-hmm. show anybody or tell anybody, because I also went back to the doctor recently because I was taking that. You know, you get a little age, they start giving you high blood pressure pills and cholesterol mm-hmm. pills and water pills. So I said, if I got off of these needles, I know I can get off some of these pills. So they took me off of a lot of pills, like the water pill is gone. The cholesterol pill is cut in half from 40 milligrams to 20 milligrams with the possibility of the next visit being gone. So I thank God for all of that, because without the job, and I miss the kids, I love the kids, but I found me, you know what I'm saying? And I found me, and I got to a healthy place, and I'm happy, and I'm in shape. I'm in the best shape I was in. I thought I was in the best shape of my life when I fought in October, but I'm actually in the best shape of my life now at 201, and I'm trying to get down to get that last pound. I don't want to leave so I can just be an even 2. Because like I said, my goal was 220, and then 220 turned to 210. So 210 turned to 205. 205 turned to 202. Now I'm at 201. It's like, come on, 1 pound, you got to get out of there, buddy. But I'm happy. I'm happy because, like I said, 201 is not bad. You might as well say it's 200.
Right.
But when I see that scale, and I weigh myself maybe 2-3 times a week just to see if I can get rid of that 1 pound. And I don't want to go under 2, but, if, you know, 195 is the lowest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
190,
195 will be the lowest. But at that point, it'll be all muscle. So now it's like really – like I said, you see the tone. Only thing that I don't like is I looked in the mirror and I didn't have no ass. I said, Lord have mercy. I got all these muscles, but my ass is gone. I have no ass at all. It looked like I got an Ethiopian butt. I said, damn. But, you know, I take the Ethiopian ass. They tell me I got to do more glute exercises, but, you know, that ain't part of the routine. But I do the leg presses. They said that's good for the glute, but I don't know what happened. I've been did this for 8 months and ain't got an ass yet. The ass is gone. I got two little flappy packs, two flat packs in the back. But part two of the question, you know what? Just the promotion. I'm a promotion guy. I'm all about the let's get the promotion going. Let's get our name out there. I would fight Will Smith. Will Smith's probably actually bigger than me at this point because I'm at 202. And you see how big he – and I'm like Chris Rock. This dude claimed to be Ali. Ali is at least 220 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm at 202.
Right, right.
So I'm actually smaller than probably what Will Smith is at this point. But, yeah, I get in the ring with Will Smith. Because he had a song that he thought he could beat Mike Tyson. I think I could beat Will Smith. So, yes, I would definitely fight Will Smith in a boxing match. I don't want him slapping on me. And I ain't got nothing to say. I'm going to keep his wife's name out my mother's mouth. You know what I mean? I don't want no trouble. Because you definitely don't want to set him off by saying something that's going to piss him off. And I definitely ain't going to say nothing about Jada, nothing bad about it, so he can just start taking the gloves off and start slapping on me. That ain't going to be a good look. But for a boxer, because he trained really hard and got trained by the best to become Ali. I trained by the man who sparred with Ali, Tim Witherspoon Sr., was Ali's sparring partner. So he know all Ali techniques. So everything that he probably – taught Will Smith is what Tim Witherspoon already knows. So I would definitely go back to the Witherspoons, and I would get to the tippity-top shape, because this fight would be something that would be on everything, everywhere, and I would not be trying to embarrass myself, and I would be in better shape than I was when I fought the heavyweight champion Hazel Roche.
There you go.
And I put my belt on the line. To fight Will Smith. But I won't say nothing about his mama, and I won't say nothing about his wife. Might talk about his son, but I ain't going to talk about somebody.
Hey, trust me, if that happens, trust me, I want to be in the front row to see that.
Definitely be something that everybody gonna want to see. If me being me, I would go with it. I would go all the way with it. And like I say, I'm a competitor, so he would, and I can guarantee you, he won't beat my ass. Cause I ain't got no ass. You get me on this show, and I just go crazy. I'm sorry, y'all. That's what happens when you talk to family. You talk to family, you get this type of conversation. But yeah, I will.
Alright, cool. But we're going to take a quick break though, because I definitely want you to go into talking about the Sexy Divas boxing. I definitely wanted you to talk about that one, but I got to play this track just before we get into it. It's definitely another one of my favorite tracks right here. This is that DC Philly connection, and y'all know what track I'm talking about, but just in case y'all don't know, this is Queen of the Wobble by Supreme. Supreme the Resurrection. track that, let me tell you, that's definitely one of the favorite tracks of mine that I definitely put, like I said, I'll be blasting in my car a lot of times. I'll be blasting right here at the house. I mean, I just go nuts on that track, you know. So that is definitely one of the hottest tracks, you know, for me. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, because it got me thinking. That track had me thinking, or really about the Sexy Divas boxing. That's what it had me thinking about. So so I was I had to definitely put that track out there.
Yo, shout out to Chuck Treese and David Ivory and the New Experience for making that track, because that is actually one of my top three tracks of all time. And you know, he just did the Funktastic that y'all played, and we got a new one coming up called Past Is History, which is going to be the soundtrack to the book when that drops on September 15th on my birthday. So that's going to be real big.
This
new song, I'm trying to take down Rise and Grind and Queen of the Wild with this new song, because it's all about spirituality and representing your past is history and your future is a mystery, and living for the gift of the day, which is the present. But but that's going to be another Dave Ivory, Chuck Treese. Shout out to CL Smooth, my DJ, for making this new beat. That's going to be crazy. You talk about go-go, we're going to go-go. And I love go-go.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about this song, the king of go-go, Mr. Legendary DJ Kool, just called me.
Yes.
Hit me on Instagram this week and asked
me
for that track. Like, he said, I need that Queen of the Wild track. Send it to me right now. So God knows what's about to happen for Queen of the Wobble. And I'm excited. And just to get that call from Legendary DJ Kool, let me clear my throat.
Yes.
Mr. DC himself.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So God knows what he got on his sleeve. But whatever he got, I'm ready for it. So, yeah. And I was just got told Spine. I was dancing my no ass off to this song. Like, just to be able to want to be able to still want to dance to it and make you, it's still a favorite within the show. Like I said, Rise and Grind is the king right now. But Queen of the Wobble is the queen. It definitely is the queen of the chessboard of Supreme Song. And Rise and Grind is taking over as the king from my man Gimme. But, you know, it's just good to have these songs that, and think about it. Queen of the Wobble is 10 years old. We put that out in 2012 is when we released that record. And it's still a fan favorite. And like I said, it don't have a $1 million budget. That's why it ain't all over the planet right now. But the budget and love that it gets organically, it ain't going to die. And it hasn't died yet. And it's still winning awards. And it's still... we got a big show May 13th with the young lady, Sexy B, Miss Bernadette Burnett, who actually created the Queen of the Wobble dance, which is called the Wobble Supreme. And May 13th is her birthday, and they requested me for a TV show called The Record Shop. And May 13th, we'll be doing Queen of the Wobble live on television again. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh,
so the song, Never Dies. So shout out to DJ Kool, shout out to Sexy B, shout out to Marty Gibbs, and just keep it. We just, for some reason, it's like the song don't die. My songs don't die; they just multiply. You know what I'm saying? But back to the question. Yeah, the Sexy Divas, Sin City is a strip club down here, and they was the sponsor for the last boxing match that happened last weekend. That I got my belt, my honorary championship belt. And the CEO Damon Feldman, they had Sexy Divas boxing match for St. Patty's Day, which was Thursday. So anyway, we go down there. Yeah. I'm going down there just to see some girls box naked. You know what I mean? And they're like, "You want to host it?" He said, "You want to host?" I said, "Yeah, I'll host it." But and turned it out. I mean, I'm talking about I turned it out. He was like, "Yo, we didn't know you was that." That great of a host. I said, man, I've been hosting TV, radio. I do it all. I was like, yo, you think I'm just a rapper or a boxer or whatever, man? I don't know what you think. I am anything entertainment I can do. So this might be a new gig for me. Every time they do the Diva boxing match, I don't know. I think they're going to have it like every Thursday at Sin City down at Sin City in Philadelphia on Passyunk Avenue, 61st and Passyunk. And like I said, they was one of the sponsors, and I killed it, like, far as hosting, because I had a good time. And like I said, ain't nothing like
what they call scantily clad, naked, half-naked women with big, half-naked women in a boxing ring with leprechauns all around boxing and giving me a mic and talk about it. I'm just gonna have a good time with it. You know what I'm saying? That's cross that off my bucket list because that happened last Thursday. Me hosting Sexy Divas boxing match. I ain't never been that close to two girls fighting. Like, in that type of, I mean, I've seen girls box, celebrity boxes, and
right.
women boxes, boxing each other, especially like hoops and stuff like that, hoops box, mob wise. I've seen the girls get down, and they have some of the best fights in the world. But you ain't never seen nothing until you see some strippers fight. Some strippers fighting, and I'm talking, they busting each other noses. And they was fighting for real. Boobs falling out, butt falling out, everything. And all I'm doing is just talking about it. And everybody in the club had a great time. And I think they're gonna be calling me back for. My man was like, I think you just got another job.
Right.
I was like, hey, let's do it. I'll be the face of Sexy Divas because I love naked women fighting.
right. Well, it tends to become entertaining, especially like you said, you have strippers going at it because a lot of that stuff I'm pretty sure is real feeling. So
I was like, I said, no locker room, all the locker room shenanigans, take it out in the ring. We don't have no weight class, just nice ass. You know what I'm saying?
Get it out.
Long as you got an ass better than mine, you can fight.
Hey, my thing is, if you got lingerie football, you might as well have strip boxing.
Oh my
right?
God!
You might as well.
I'm ready to host that too.
No.
the last thing on my bucket list that even could compare to what I did last Thursday, I told Spawn, I said, you gotta take me to an ABN. I need to go to at least one of them. My goal is to perform Queen of the Wobble at one, but just to sit in the audience with a bunch of adult entertainment stars and sexy strippers, and if they want to stop boxing, I can host that too.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Have the AVN on like the top floor, then have the boxing on the second floor.
Oh, my God. When you finish getting your award, come down and fight the people that lost.
There you go.
All the losers fight. Don't even worry about changing. Just put these big-ass gloves on and get in this ring and knock them out. Take your shoes off.
Yep.
And put your hair in this. I found out you got to take your shoes off because you could break your ankle, especially when all them ones, when all them dollar bills hit the boxing ring, you can slip on one of them dollar bills. So you want to take your shoes off, fighting your bare feet, and you want to put your hair in a scrunchie because there's a lot of hair and wigs. I seen this girl get her eyelash knocked off, and she said, I quit after that. I said, once you knock one of them mink eyelashes off, the fight is over. I'll tell you, baby. Ain't nothing wrong with giving up when you got to pick up your eyelash off the street.
Oh man!
So those girls are rumbling, yo, they brawl. They got, and then they start humping on each other when they say, like, y'all, I thought they were fighting. Now y'all took it to another level.
I know, right?
They start fighting, then they start booty shaking, then they start jumping on each other. I said, I done seen it all. I thought I seen it all. But you ain't seen it all until you seen it all in a girl diva brawl. And, oh, my God. No weight class.
Oh,
just
man.
Nice.
See, there it is.
Oh, man.
See, and that's how you know
life,
you ain't got to go to Vegas. You ain't got to go to Vegas. Just go to Philly. Just go to Philly.
Hey, we got to come to Philly. And let's take it to a town near you.
You know, that's the thing. Philly becomes like one of those spots where it's like you can get yourself a nice cheese steak and go to a Clown Posse show if they still doing them. And then, and then right there you go to the stripper boxing right then and there. And then you're good to go.
Yes.
You know?
Hey, like I said, and I'm just so happy to be a part of everything that's going down in my life right now. It's just amazing.
Man, you know what, man? You living the life right now. You living the dream of a lot of people. That's all I can say. You living the dream of a lot of folks, I'm telling you. I mean, to be able to host shows like that, and you have a song on national television. Just think about that.
Yes.
You know, I mean, man. And then also taking care of your health. I mean, man.
As a new beginning.
And you got a book coming.
A new beginning. And a book coming. EP coming. The first EP album that I had released since 2012. I mean, I put out a bunch of singles. So I'm actually coming out with a complete project to go along with the book. So September 15th is going to be an incredible day, a birthday for me, as well as July 1st, which is the second anniversary of Rise and Grind. Big show at Milk Boy Presents Supreme and Friends. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be crazy.
Well, you pretty much answered the next question I was going to ask you. I was like, what other projects you got coming up? But you already answered that
past
question.
Past is history.
I mean,
Past is history. EP, September 15th, the book Past is History. And the big show as far as on the books right now is July 1st for that. And then May 13th, the TV show for Sexy B's birthday party and the line dance extravaganza with Queen of the Wobble and Supreme the Resurrector as a special guest on the Record Shop TV show that's coming. First taping of the show. That's going to be at Clutch in Wilmington, Delaware, May 13th. Okay. So and like I said, my band is just getting started. So shout out to CL Smooth, Exotic D, and Sunshine on the drum. And we started this new version of the band with the two DJs and a drummer last year, and it's finally hitting. We just did a show that was incredible. I ended a video of us into the Tiny Desk contest. You know, I love contests.
Oh,
and the winner gets an
episode
on Tiny Desk, and you get to go on the summer tour as a headliner, or if you're a runner-up and didn't get the headliner spot, I guess five runner-ups still get to go on the tour. So I'm hoping to get on the summer tour with the Tiny Desk people because the video that I submitted just happened to be probably one of the best performances I ever did of Rise and Grind of my life. And it's on the Tiny Desk website, so you can go through and see all the other people that actually got into it. So, you know, we fighting. We always fighting. Everything is a fight, man. It's boxing. I got one chapter in the book. My preface of my book is called, and the book is written. This book was written in 2004, and I'm actually just bringing it out. And it's the story of how I got started, my past, which is my history of how I got started in the Philadelphia scene. So a lot of these people and names, I'm sure Spawn or know, especially from being from the Philadelphia area, to bring back a lot of memories of how a young artist from Philadelphia fought, scraped, scrapped, got into every situation to get to where I am today. And the preface of the book, I guess to catch you up for what happened in the last 20 years since the book was written, is called From Bands to Boxing to Books. So it gives you a brief synopsis of what happened. Well, I catch you up for the last 20 years of what happened in my life, which is a lot. Brief summary. And then it goes back to, it goes back to the beginning, which I told y'all what made me want to get into music in the first place, with the Sugar Hill Gang, what I mean? So it's going to be a phenomenal book, man. So we got a lot of things, and the calendar is wide open. So anybody wants to do some bookings, like I said, my goal is to go back on tour, like nationally again this year, and I'm going to accomplish that by hook, crook, or however it got to go down, it's going to go down. You know what I'm saying? I'm going on tour.
It is.
I don't know who's going to book it. We just got hooked up on the roster of Breakpoint Booking, which is a major booking company out of North Hollywood. So I'm looking forward to doing a lot of work with them on a professional. We never had a booking agent, so it's good to be down with a professional booking agent that does this for a living.
Yeah.
I'm going to help them get the job done for them because I'm going to win this contest, and I'm going to go on tour with the Tiny Desk people and win that episode in D.C., and that's where the Tiny Desk is.
Okay.
I guess the Tiny Desk is filmed in D.C., so I'm going to be in D.C., for that taping, and a lot of the big stars do the Tiny Desk, so now they're given the opportunity for unsigned artists to get a chance to do the Tiny Desk. So I want that. I want that bad, man. I want it bad.
Hey.
Yeah, exactly. When I want something bad enough, and like I said, that performance that PG gave me, friend of mine, just captured it. He just captured us performing at the last show we did at the Warehouse. There's a new club that I've never played before called The Warehouse. The place was packed, and it was a punk rock show. So it was a lot of white kids and young kids, and we did Rise and Grind and tore the place up. That could be seen on my page and on my Instagram, which is SUPREEMDR. You just go to Instagram and go to Supreme DR and look at the footage, and or go to YouTube and look at that footage, or go to the Tiny Desk contest where you can see the contestants and look up Rise and Grind and see that performance. And that performance was, I mean, you talk about flawless. That's probably my best performance ever in life.
You've seen
great ones. You've seen a really good one at that Insane Clown Posse album release party. This makes that show look like amateur night. How about that?
Okay. All right. Okay.
That performance, and I never actually had a show that went, and I took my shirt off, and the girls went, woo, so, you know, it was something else. new body, new scream, no ass, but a good time.
Good time. Hey, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That is definitely what it's all about. I got one more question for you. One more question, and then you definitely go out and definitely be the great one, you know. But it's definitely one question I want to ask you. I've always wanted to know, and what would be your top five artists that you would like to perform with that you haven't, and who would be your top five? I would say like living or dead. So it's like, who would be your top five living that you would like to perform and top five dead that you would like to perform with?
All right. And you know what? That's funny, too, because I've seen these guys. I'm into the classics, man. I love the legends, man. So legendary top five performers alive would definitely be George Clinton.
Okay.
In the Parliament. If I could open up the Parliament. It's not too many people I fear to perform with, as far as, you know, knowing that they're going to kill it. Because usually I'll be like, well, I'm going to kill it too. So it's just a great show. But like to be like, okay, they might kick our ass a little bit. But George Clinton, he's 80 years old. He gives one of the baddest shows I've ever seen. I would love to open up for George Clinton. I would love open up for Busta Rhymes, man. That's my I just seen him last year. And I'm talking about my flawless show, which was, I told you about, that was captured on tape for the Tiny Desk audition that's in the contest. Busta Rhymes show that I've seen, I think maybe inspired that, because that show that I've seen, I needed to see it. And so Busta Rhymes, anybody in the Wu-Tang, well, not even anybody in the Wu-Tang Clan, Redman and Method Man as the duo, I would love to play with them and maybe open up for show. This is like a show that I'm not even caring about my performance. I'm actually in school when I see these New Edition. They on the tour, the Legacy tour. Shout out to my man Walt Reeder Jr., who is the manager of DJ Kool, and Dougie Fresh,
okay,
master performer. Him and Slick Rick, master performer. So those are four. So one more would probably be Alive. That's like my top five Alive, though. You're like Parliament, Busta Rhymes, Red and Meth, and New Edition. Like I said, New Edition. So one more I would throw in. I would throw in DJ Kool because he's a go-go, like, legend. So I always wanted to do a go-go show.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never done
that. Big-time legend, yes.
They actually got a group that's out there that's killing it, right? Black Alley. They in Africa now, but they from D.C.
Yeah.
And I've seen them perform live at the Milk Boy. And ever since I've seen them perform, I've been following them. And they got this beautiful girl in front. And that band is so tight. And they do rock and covers, and they just do everything. And they're a DC band, so I want to perform in front of a live, authentic DC band like Rare Essence or Junk or Backyard or Black Alley. So one of them, a go-go band. So that would be my five. But DJ Kool, you know what? I perform in front of the greatest rapper. I perform with the greatest rapper dead, which was Biggie Smalls. You can't really get no top than that. And I opened up for Biggie Smalls way back in the day. You know what I'm saying? So that's an accomplishment right there. You're not too many people can say they had a show with Biggie Smalls, and he killed it. And he was a very big guy. And I didn't know what the big guy was going to do, but he showed me what he was going to do. And we actually just did a show with Chubb Rock, and Chubb Rock was another big guy. He did a great show. But did ODB, I would love to do a show with ODB if he was still alive. ODB, Prince, Michael Jackson, and oh my God, another one. James Brown, definitely James Brown.
Hey.
James Brown, and another Tupac. If he was alive,
yeah.
I'd love to do a show with Tupac. Because to me, you know, the greatest rappers in the world is Tupac and Biggie Smalls, man. So I did one with Biggie, but I never even got to meet Tupac. But I met a lot of artists with Urban Expressions doing interviews. So you know how you say you meet your heroes? I met a lot of my heroes. I met George Clinton. I met, I met Biggie Smalls. I met Puff Daddy. I met Ludacris. But Ludacris is another one. I would love to perform with Ludacris. And he's one of my favorites. And definitely, I did a lot of things with Wu-Tang Clan. I'm part of the family with the 144,000 and my brother Judah Priest. So we part of the Wu-Tang fam. So just the guy that we are part of, which is Brooklyn Zoo, ODB, who I met a few times, but I would have loved it, just got on stage with ODB at his height, with him and me and Mariah ODB. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because he was a master at the stage and getting people excited. So, and, oh, my God, Public Enemy. If I could perform with Public Enemy, that's one of the baddest shows you ever seen in your life. I'm talking about if you got hair, you're going to leave out there with your hair all tore up and messed up.
Right.
But I sure would love to do a show with Tupac and Snoop, a lot of the Death Row dudes. Man, I met Corrupt and did shows with Corrupt. But I would just everybody at their height when they was in the 90s, mm-hmm. man, I would have loved. And at that point, I was a New Jack myself. So it would have been an honor to actually perform in front of these people. So one day, you know, the live ones, we still got a chance to get down with the live ones. Because with Whitney Payton, man, you done performed on stage with one of the baddest little girls that got on the stage and held a mic. And the new artist I work with, Lisi B, she's one of the baddest little artists that's out there as far as the stage show. If she's like Missy, I'm like Buster for what's coming between me and her. You know what I'm saying? And then when I get with my brother Judah and Bruce and Big Tal, it's going to be a phenomenal. So this next show, which we got all purpose on it, it's like some of the best in Philadelphia, Son of Jan. And so it's going. And shout out to my cousin Del P, man. I just want to be in the loop of who's happening in Philadelphia right now. And these people are happening in Philadelphia. And I got 3 or 4 of them on my show coming up, you know. Shout out to Riverside Eyes.
Right.
He put me on that show that got filmed last couple weeks ago that was my best performance, the Riverside Eyes. They're on the show July 1st, too. Bad rock band. So, you know, we got a lot coming up, man. I got my bucket list is still deep. And Spawn got to get me into one of them AVNs, and then I can die after that. No. I can retire. At that point, I can retire from entertainment, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
I'm fighting for something. I mean, it got to be, because 30 years of nonstop making music, coming up with decent records and being known and being on TV shows and being in movies, being a crime partner with Snoop Dogg, Ice-T, and Ja Rule, I just did lot of big things, but I want to be known as one of the greatest before I get out of this thing. Like, you got to know me as one of the greatest. Right now, I think you can know me as like one of the damn good tryers, because I've been trying to be great since I've been doing it. And I've been great.
Right.
And I've done great things, but now I need to let the world know how great I am. And with the help of God, man, I think it's about to go down. I think 2023 is when you start. I think he's taking the covers off of me. Like, I think all these years of 30 years have been mastering the craft. And now it's time to show you what I've mastered. I show you songwriting. You can't mm-hmm, go mm-hmm. wrong until somebody can tell you about a song that you wrote 10 years ago that still make people dance. You can't go wrong with a song that you just wrote two years ago that now in a movie, a TV show. So the songwriting is there. The song that been on, one of my songs is on the Celebrity Boxing because they love the song so much. So it's about to go down. You know what I mean? Touring with a girl.
Of course. Yeah.
And she lets you perform the last song of her set which is on your album, which is Gimme. So it's like something is there. It's starting to see light. I believe, like I said, I believe the covers is coming off, and now it's like, this is what I've been preparing you for, my son. Here we go. Here we go, world. This is my guy right here.
There it is. So definitely let the world know where they can catch you on your social media. Definitely let the world know.
Everything on my website, which is we got a website with three URLs. So the main site to catch me at is Supreme, SUPREEM, and thenewexperience.com. That's everything me. And that's also SupremeTheResurrected.com and ChocolateRocky.com. They all for my website that'll show you everything Supreme. Instagram is Supreme, SUPREEMDR, Supreme in the New Experience on Instagram. And, of course, Facebook is Supreme the Resurrector. And I guess anything else beyond that is Googleable, because everything else is on all the music platforms. You type in my name, you type in my song, you type in anything about me on any of the DSPs, Spotify, Tidal, iTunes, whatever else. They got so many platforms for music now. I'm on all of them. So definitely SupremeInTheNewExperience.com is the main hub, and you'll get Twitter, which is SupremeDR also, and Supreme in the New X's, and YouTube. YouTube is big too, because I got
that Rise and Grind video.
It's crazy, the Rise and Grind actual official video. My sister, Lisi B, who I was just telling you about, the young lady, she shot that video for me. She shot Paper Chase for me. She shot Funktastic for me. So we've been doing a lot of good things with her. And she's a talented artist who does my flyers and my graphics. And she's a bad entertainer, one of the artists that I definitely work closely with. My sister, Whitney Payton, like I said, thanks to her, my national level exists because of her. And of course, the underground and the juggalos, man. I wouldn't have known none of these people without Whitney Payton. So. And my brother Judah, you know what I mean? The Wu-Tang connection. It's just, I'm here, it's fine with the adult world. Oh, my God. It's just, I know so many good people. And I know so many good people, and they like me, and I like them, and I love them. I didn't even like it's love. And it's all love, and they show me love. So I'm everywhere. Like I said on my one post, I'm everywhere this year like air. So you look up, you're going to see Supreme.
All right. And speaking of good people, and one quick question before we end for tonight, because this is going to be actually our last song, and I must ask you, have you met PMB Rock?
You know Philly what? Artist. My daughter loved this kid, right?
Right.
My man, Big Phil, the number one street promoter of Philadelphia, did all his street promoters, right? I never met him. But I was fortunate enough because of my daughter. She wanted to see him. She loved Lil Uzi Vert. Like I met all their people. Like everybody that they know, I know from being in the city. So I never physically met PMB Rock. I never physically met Lil Uzi. Actually, I did meet Lil Uzi Vert because he recorded in Milk Boy. He was recording his album when I was recording Rise and Grind. So I would see him every day when I came in the studio. Him and his people was cool. So I would see him every day. But PMB Rock, I never got to meet him, and I was very sad when his life was taken. But I got to see him perform, and it was an amazing performance. That young kid, we lost something terrible when we lost that boy. And I became a fan because of my daughter really championed this kid. So we went to see him, and I was not disappointed. So I got to see him.
Hey.
Me and her at the Met, we pushed our way up to like the second row. So I got right in front of him, and I seen him get down. He killed it. Living his little skinny self, he killed that thing, man.
Hey, well, that's that. Well, that's perfect. Yep, go ahead.
Man, I respect a good show. I respect a good show, and he gave a great show.
Hey, and just like you did, you gave a great show. So I must definitely say thank you for definitely being on with us to basically chop it up with us, have fun with us, help us celebrate Spawn's birthday, So again, thank you. Yeah. with that, like you mentioned, with PNB Rock, because we're definitely going to end the show on this song, and that's PNB Rock's Selfish. So this song was produced by Needles and Donut and was released on June 23rd of 2016 by Atlantic Records and was the lead single on his mixtape, GTTM, Going Through the Motions. All right. So he is a singer, rapper, songwriter that broke through in 2015 with the single Jealous featuring Fetty Wap. And, of course, he got his moniker from Pastorius and Baton Streets in Philly. All right, but unfortunately, and I'm pretty sure a lot of us know the tragic story. Just in case if you don't know, he was shot and killed September 12th of last year at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles during a robbery in L.A. Music venues all over Philly has definitely paid tribute to this artist. North Philadelphia representative Malcolm Kenyatta tweeted his condolences, saying the senseless. Killing of PNB Rock is a huge loss for Philadelphia. He never forgot where he came from and inspired so many other local artists to create heartbreaking. Definitely, you are now about to listen to Philly's own, and of course his real name was Rakim Hashim Allen. All right, but of course we all better know him. As PNB Rocks. And again, the song that we're about to definitely play for you is Selfish. So again, thank you so much, Supreme, for definitely sharing your time with us, man, because I know you're definitely going to go. And one thing I wanted to mention is the music that you create is definitely timeless. So, you know, definitely want to let you know. So again, thank you. And thank you all for listening to us. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be with us. So, again, thank you all. We definitely love you. Again, happy birthday, Spawn. So, again, this happy is PNB Rocks. Selfish, right? Definitely happy birthday. And be safe, y'all.
Rest in peace, young brother. Rest in peace.
Yes.
Love y'all.
Nobody else. I want to order myself. I swear. Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 I'm selfish. I want to order myself. I swear. You don't need nobody else. I swear. I want to order myself because I'm selfish. I want to order myself, I swear. You don't need nobody else, I swear. I want to order myself, I swear. I'm selfish. I want to order myself, I swear. You don't need nobody else, I swear. I want to order myself because I'm selfish, yeah. I want to order myself, I swear. You don't need nobody else. I want to order myself. Now that I got you here, girl, I ain't gon' play with you. Because it's a lot of things that I wanna say to you. Girl, you know you the shit. Balenciaga's on your kick. Niggas all on your dick, but we ain't gon' trip. Cause I'm not ready for no commitment. But I swear I hate seeing you with them. And I know you ain't tryna control me. And I know you tired of being lonely. I can't help how I feel. I'm just keeping it real. They can't hear you, girl, because I'm selfish. I want to order myself, I swear. You don't need nobody else, I swear. I want to order myself because I'm selfish, yeah. I want to order myself, I swear. You don't need nobody else, I swear. I want to order myself, I swear. I'm selfish. I want to order myself, I swear. You don't need nobody else, I swear. I want to order myself because I'm selfish, yeah. I want to order myself, I swear. You don't need nobody else. I want to order myself.
Sorry, I'm selfish, can't help it. You know I get stuck when you come around. And them niggas be sick cause we be on some shit. Yeah, they know I'm gon' hold it down. Pull up in the whip, tell you how I been with the friends. We gon' go to my crib.
through all of myself, I swear. You don't need nobody else, I swear. I went through all of myself, I swear. I'm selfish. I went through all of myself, I swear. You don't need nobody else, I swear. I went through all of myself.